Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Souther.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm exhausted.
Congratulations
Thank
on your
you.
New spot.
Yes. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Nice.
Dave's in the studio today, Foley artist. I opened.
How many days has it been now?
5 days, man.
5 days.
5 days since the new bar has
just
opened.
Just opened
COUP. COUP, like an uprising. So it's at 64 Cooper Square here in Manhattan.
Cooper Square.
So what we're doing at COUP is it's a charity bar. We are donating 100% of our profits to charities, and we are funding the charities that are being defunded by the current administration. That is a COUP. That's why we call it COUP.
That's amazing, man. Such a great idea.
Such an awesome space.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Heather, you've been there.
Yes, I have.
And we're also doing guest bartending, which I know you're going to do one as well.
Definitely.
We're doing 3 nights a week right now, but we're going to expand that to 5 nights a week. We're always going to have a guest bartender in the house, making drinks for their charity of choice. So when you come on, I don't know what you're going to give to the Damon Bolte Fund.
Oh, man.
Fund.
Yeah.
Damon Bolte Guitar and Motorcycle Fund.
Yeah, maybe.
Or what have you. But it's going Hot swimmingly. Fun. I'm exhausted. I'm scaroused. Right? A little scared, a little aroused.
Wow.
That's
a whole lot.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. Come on down to COUP and have some drinks. Stand up and what do we say? Take a sip and take a stand.
There you go.
Give and partake.
Nice.
Come on down.
Very
to COUP.
Cool.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Who we got in the studio today?
We have.
She's already chimed in.
A very, very amazing buddy of mine.
Yes.
We just met a couple years ago, and we become fast friends over those couple years.
Very quickly. Over hangovers at Tails. So.
Yeah. Exactly. At Yo Mama's.
At Yo Mama's.
Yeah.
Bar and grill.
So today we have my good friend. Our good friend Heather Ash.
Hello.
In the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm super stoked about this.
Yeah, first time, right?
Doing it. Yeah, first time.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, I see a bunch of tequila sitting
whole
around
lot
the
of
studio.
Tequila.
So,
yeah.
Whole lot. We're going to get into that. So,
everybody likes tequila.
Yeah, I'm usually traveling around with a purse full of it. So, yeah.
That's good.
Good party.
Come Life's party. Hard. Yeah.
Not a bad friend to have.
So you've been, you have worked for Trauma Tequila. Actually, today is your 2-day anniversary with Trauma Tequila.
2-year
anniversary.
Yeah.
2-year anniversary. Yeah. Yeah. I'm super stoked about it.
I didn't realize that. Like literally today?
Literally today.
Oh,
I signed
great.
My contract 2 years ago. Yeah. It's
Happy
great
anniversary.
People. Thank
nice
you.
Job, Trumba. Good catch.
Yeah. There it is.
But this is not your first dance. You've been in
not.
And around this business for some time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm super old school, especially New York. Bar person, like 15 years of bartending or something like that under my belt before we went brand side. But yeah, so this is my first brand job, and it's been awesome. And Trumba is just like fantastic, and it released in the market 2 years ago, right when I came on, and it's just been doing really awesome. It's been an awesome product to get behind for the whole, duration.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that you got on right when they got to the market. You know every bit of the evolution of this brand in this market.
Yeah, and it was a kind of awesome opportunity because after leaving like Milk and Honey, I was kind of like, well, where do I go? What do I do after that? And all that other stuff. And it was, you know, because that was such like an iconic place to work. And so I kind of found this company through Sam Ross at Attaboy. He's the one who hooked me up with it. And it's kind of was like given to me as like, you know, like this product will be what you make it in the market. And that was kind of an awesome opportunity as a brand person, especially a new person to, you know, that side of things and whatnot.
Right, kind of blazing. You get to blaze your own trail. You don't have to follow anybody. You don't have to fill any shoes.
Yeah, it is what I make it. And that was so awesome. So
that's great. Well, let's talk about your history a little bit. You've already dropped a couple of bar names and... Well, you dropped a bar name and a famous name, so...
I do know this, yeah.
That's cool. So, yeah, 15 years in New York as a bartender prior to becoming a brand person.
Mm-hmm.
What are you? Is it your rep ambassador? What's your...
I'm a brand ambassador.
Brand ambassador, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I really know the difference, but...
Yeah, it's kind like of people, blurry, like from titles. Company to company.
I feel like people have titles that want to go with their title. So you're the brand ambassador. How'd you get started in our...
In the
whole
world of booze?
Whatever this is, we do.
Yeah. I actually started off, like, super young. I'm from the area, and so I was, like, working at Tower Records on Broadway and 4th Street. Yeah. little punk kid with a bad attitude, which not a lot has changed. But, so I was down at McDougal Street, and I was just chatting with, like, a bar owner at McDougal Street Ale House, and, like, it was an old, drunk guy. You know, ownership has changed, so, you know, no shade or anything. But he was
I'm pretty old, and I'm having a drink right now.
Yeah, not the same. But he was just kind of, like... I was just like chatting with this dude, and I was like, yeah, I want a bartend, you know, throwing it out there. And he was like, yeah, you'll do. Show up at noon. I was like, okay, cool.
You'll do. You're adequate.
Yeah. And I like showed up, and like the guy that came in to train me was like still drunk and was like, this is how you use the register, and like left and like figure it out. I was like, great. So I did like a lot of years of like, you know, like dive bars and like, you know, everything from dive bars to restaurants to like run and gun to high volume and all that.
Way, it sounds like a weird starting experience, but it's still, you got bitten by the bug. Yeah.
Super bitten by the bug. Yeah. I loved it. You know, I just loved like talking to people and like just the whole atmosphere and everything like that. I got super into it. And then like, I guess this was like 2007, 2008. I got into like cocktails and actually like, you know, paying attention to the quality of what mm-hmm. I'm putting out there and things like that. In like 2008, I got hooked up with the people from Inateca when they opened up Inateca La Cori.
Was Chaim Dauerman there back then?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Actually, yeah.
What a small world.
Yeah. So
I love it.
I got hired by Matt Piazzettini that owns Up and Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's awesome. And like... Dan Greenbaum was there, Joey Vargas, Matthew Houlihan, Chaim Dauerman.
Yes.
So it's like an awesome starting crowd. And like we kind of all just went and stayed in the industry and we're still all like super good friends. And so like that's just kind of how it all happened, you know?
Wow.
And now we're a big old, you know, mildly drunk family.
Yeah. So you went from Inateca. Where'd you mm-hmm. go? Because they ended up not making it, right? That's gone.
Yeah. That's gone. I did a bit of restaurant management like immediately after. And then I got back into like bartending by doing the beverage program at Allswell when they first opened up. Mm-hmm. And through that, we opened up Beloved and just did like a bunch of consulting and managing and bartending here and there. And then I went to Gin Palace where I met you.
That's right. the Gin Palace.
Gin Palace and Cienfuegos and then on to Milk and Honey. So yeah. And then that was it.
Unreal.
Called it a wrap.
It's a hell of a run.
It is, man. From, what was the name of the first place again? The Ale House?
McDougal Street Ale House.
McDougal Street Ale House.
Yeah. There's a lot of like cores and stuff going
to
around.
To Milk and Honey.
Yeah. That was a jump.
but I think it seems that you took some logical steps. You know, you didn't, it wasn't just a radical left turn.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to me. You know, like I was a chef at places that were Michelin starred. But I started, you know, my very first cooking job, I was at the Waffle House.
Yeah, like some humble beginnings, like, man, like
the overnight
up.
Guy. Yeah. I had to deal with, like, the late night drunks and the early morning breakfast, and I can still fucking cook eggs fast. Right?
I can't at all.
But that means that then, you know, you get that appreciation and you start to see that there's a little bit more to it. You even said it in your thing there. You saw that you could be, I think, you know, your phrase was something like, you could be better at what you were putting out, what you were producing, right?
Yeah. I started caring about, like, the quality and, or like, just learning about, like, the details. And kind of just, you know, stepping up my career. It's just kind of, you know, natural progression of where it went. So yeah. And then, like, doing all the, like, the consulting and, like, management and stuff like that, I kind of liked, like, you know, the back end, you know, end of things. So, like, going into, like, you know, selling tequila and sales and things like that was kind of like where I wanted to be, you know, and growing up.
2 years in, and you seem pretty happy.
Oh yeah, no, I love this.
I see you out and about at bars and stuff, and you're always like, you got like a big smile on your face.
Yeah.
I also see you a lot at Lucky Jack's, which is, you know, we twisted dial back to the dive bar, right?
Yeah, that's like my office.
That's on my street.
Basically.
it's like not even two full blocks from my apartment door.
Yeah, the owners were like my bartenders when I was like probably like 18 or something like that. I would like go into Bull McCabe's when they bartended there, and then so like that's how I know them. Like, they're just like old friends of mine. And then I was even there like the first day Jack's opened up. So yeah, I love that place.
Do you live near there? Because I'm two blocks
but
away from there.
I live
but
off
I see
the
you
J.
There. Okay,
yeah, and I take liberties in there. I like leave, you know.
This is like like your office away from home.
Basically, yeah. I'm like, I need to print something.
Let me bust into that office real fast. That's a great. I mean, as far as, you know, just good solid neighborhood bars go, that's a great spot.
Oh, it's such an awesome spot. Yeah. Totally.
Well, speaking of great spots, looks like we're at one right now, mid-show. So we're going to take a quick break and hear from the Wisconsin Dairy and Cheese Board. Because we're always talking about how much we want a cheese board in here, but no one's delivered yet. So we're going to hear from them. We'll come back and then we'll talk more about the meat of what you do on a daily basis now.
Sweet.
And we'll drink some tequila.
Oh, yeah.
Be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth generation cheesemakers, combining old world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh cheese curds. Or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company. The operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
All right, we are back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. And today we have our good buddy Heather Ash in the studio. And we're just talking about, like, kind of coming up through the ranks and, you know, getting to where she's at now and, like, working as a brand ambassador for this awesome tequila company.
Super rad stuff.
If you haven't had it, just swing by Grand Army because I definitely carry it.
And I got it at Coup as well.
Yeah.
You're on the bar.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, you know, it's funny. It's like, so they kind of alluded to it in the first half of the show. It's like, you know, kind of like paying your dues and like kind of like, you know, graduate into like a position. You know, it's a lot easier to just jump into like brands and cocktail bars these days because there's so like the opportunities are out there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, this whole side of our business it's still relatively new. Like the whole notion of localized brand ambassadors. Like
I remember when I was doing buying, like even like 5 years ago, I wasn't having reps coming in like constantly. There wasn't like, you know, trips and things like that going on. Like that wasn't like that common, you know. You had to really be like an exceptional account to get something like that.
8 years old, maybe 10 would be pushing it. Like there are certainly the kind of the global dudes who were running around, but now it's very localized.
Yeah,
you know,
it was very distributor.
Especially
forward.
Here in New York, it's such a big market. But like even when you go places that are like, I was out in Cleveland, you know, and like some brand reps came to the thing I did out there, and like I don't know.
You say Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I did my tour. I did all the lands. I went to Scotland, England, and Cleveland all in one trip. We call that a rock and roll triangle right there. That's where all the big bands, that's how the big bands do it.
That's awesome.
So now you're into this position where, again, somewhat new to even have them. And then again, you've taken on a brand that you took the position right when they got here.
Yeah.
So you're like a whole learning curve of your own.
Yeah.
Where did you find, like, how are you figuring it out? Is the big question. Like, are you reaching out to your friends? I know we all have friends or other brand reps. You reach out to them and be like, hey, how do you fucking do this?
Yeah. And like I said before, like, you know, like when
I want to do this thing, how do I do it?
I don't really know what I'm doing. Like I said, like when I was doing buying, like there wasn't like a whole lot of brand reps like coming in, and it wasn't like the way that it is now. You know what I mean? Where like I'll sit at a bar and I'll know like five other reps that I know sitting at that bar, whatever. Right. Like that wasn't really like a thing. So I kind of wasn't really sure how it was going to go. And also, there it is.
I'm pouring some tequila.
Yeah.
You got a patient.
And also, like, getting started and working for a company that's, like, an independent, a super independent brand, and just kind of, like, figuring out, like, on my own, you know, it's kind of like a grassroots operation
situation. What you actually can do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't have a big company or coworkers, like, backing me up. So it's kind of like, all right, so I'm going to call my buddies from there, and then I'm going to see if my buddies can call their buddies, and then we're going to get this going.
Sure, you got a little bit of the smartest guy in the room syndrome, right? Have you heard that phrase? If you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room, but you're the only guy in this room, right? So you have to reach out to other people to gain their knowledge and wisdom.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I've had, like, a lot of, like, you know, initially, like, a lot of, especially, like, independent brand people, like, you know, be like, all right, so this is kind of where we need to go and stuff like that, and give me, like, you know, like, pointers and things like that, and, yeah, so pretty decent.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. I know that, so there, you and I have both we've dabbled in, like, kind of like brand repping, you know,
I do some social media work mostly for Amaro Montenegro from time to time, through Jason's Critical Mass.
I work with Brooklyn Gin, but I've
done some work for one-off stuff. I've never done, with the exception of Montenegro, I've never done anything where I got a steady check.
Right.
It's all one-offs. I've done tons of one-offs for like
Jägermeister,
Fernet Branca, like all the bitter stuff.
This kind of like freaks me out, like, because I am terrible with spreadsheets, and I'm sure that takes up a good portion of your life.
Solid amount of my time, yeah.
Were you a big tequila fanatic prior to this? Are you a big tequila fanatic now?
I'm a big tequila fanatic now. I kind of didn't really understand like the depth of like agave spirits and stuff like that. Like, you know, like I came from cocktails and things like that, and it was just kind of like, okay, well, like, I kind of started with Tromba. Let me rephrase that. I kind of started with Tromba when like that big agave push happened like two and a half years ago. And that's kind of when I started like really getting into it. And like, I know it sounds like really cheesy to say and all that other stuff, but like I went in cause I wanted a brand job. I wanted to, like, you know, I didn't feel like I could be behind the bar anymore. I didn't know which bar I would go to or what program I wanted to do. And so like, you know, when I went in to talk to like the Tromba people, like, you know, and they tasted me on it, I was kind of like, oh, damn, dude, like this is decent, like this is really, really, really good, you know what I mean? I was like, I didn't, you know, I had all the faith in the world in them, but like, you know, it kind of like surprised me, and I kind of just like learned what agave spirits could be, you know, like a lot of that education wasn't around a couple of years ago.
Sure.
So
yeah I think
it was there, but you know, I feel like it's coming
in waves, man.
Yeah,
it does. And I think the best way is
like, accessible.
You have to immerse yourself in it.
Yeah,
you know?
But you got some you know, kind of titans out there who've been the first wave. I think this is that second wave, though, that ripples from that, right? Because you got like Bobby down in Texas
being a true
tequila advocate. Phil Ward here in New York.
Yeah.
You know, Mayowell's been open now for
Ryan Fitzgerald,
say 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like in New York City, I don't know, maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe it's just what I just don't notice it, but like It's not really a huge tequila town. This is like this city was built on like whiskey and gin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I know the information's out there. If it's going to be anywhere like in the world, like to just be able to pick like a spirit category and have like a huge support group of people who like can give you this, all the information, it's New York City, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's more like gin and whiskey focused. But like, you know, then you go to the West Coast. And
I think maybe
that's
just the circles that we run in. You know, it's, you know, we tend to hang out at, you know, these you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not austere, but we hang out at these places that are like really driven by classics. And classic cocktails are built on whiskey and gin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right. So like the programs are built around that. I've always kind of been a tequila fan. In fact, there was my 3 years. I lived in New Orleans for 3 years.
Yeah.
So they tell me. my 3 years in New Orleans, I was a big tequila drinker because it's so oppressively hot down there. And tequila, I don't know, seems lighter and fresher to me than whiskey when I'm in 100 degree, 100% humidity New Orleans. And that was, you know, 15, 17 years ago now. But yeah, the education wasn't there. I was drinking, you know, just whatever they poured. Blanco tequila is all I would ever say, and I don't even pay attention to what they poured.
Yeah.
I just wanted tequila in a frosty cold. I think I was probably drinking Budweiser.
Yeah, I didn't know you then, but I could
but I got a feeling.
I was drinking Budweiser if they had it in a bottle, and if they had a Beta, I was drinking a Beta. Mm. Mm-hmm. Drives me nuts in this town that everywhere you find a Beta, it's always a Beta Light. They don't. Why New York, sell a Beta. It's better than a Beta Light. Abita, you're welcome.
Send us a case.
We expect some for the next show.
Abita Amber, please.
Yeah, I was going to say Abita Amber.
Anyway, so we've got, I poured some, you know, for the people to hear, and I probably already sipped on some. Well, no one was paying attention. But you brought us three bottles of Tromba, three expressions. This is your whole line, right?
This is our line, right now.
Three marks, as they say.
Three marks,
yeah. You've got a Blanco, a Reposado, and a Añejo. So let's start with some Blanco. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm just going to give you a little background on Tromba, like, as a company generally. So we've been in New York for 2 years, like I said, a couple times. But we have been in production for over 7 years. We initially launched in Australia and Canada because we have a couple owners that live there. And so we tested out those markets first. Became the number three premium craft tequila in Australia, the number two in Canada. We're kicking ass in Toronto, which is kind of awesome. And then they came down to the U.S. So we're in New York, Chicago, and California as of right now. And D.C. We're going down to D.C. next week. So cool. If anybody's
New
around.
York, Chicago, what'd you say, L.A.?
Chicago? New York, Chicago, California, and D.C. California. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's it.
And are there other Tromba ambassadors, or are you do it all for America?
Yeah, we just got two new people in California, but we've had some people, you know.
By adding D.C., that's just going to go into you.
Yep.
So you'll be popping down to D.C. a lot.
So if anybody wants to try some Tromba,
I hope you have my friends down there.
Cool.
Derek Brown, punk rock dude.
All right.
You know him?
Yeah.
Owns Columbia Room.
Oh, yeah. Right,
great dude. Good friend of mine. Derek, Heather Ash might be crashing on your couch.
That might happen. I'm small. I fit in. Yeah. Anyway, so 100% agave, Highlands, awesome tequila. Marco Sedano is our master distiller. He first got his go-around by being the guy who kind of created the 100% agave spirit for Don Julio. Stayed on with them for like a really long time. And this is his first independent project. He oversees absolutely everything, him and his son Rodrigo. His, you know, his rule is no gringos in the kitchen. So whatever he says goes. And so here we are. Yeah. And he's awesome. And he's a great guy. And he comes up all the time and does like master classes. And he's just like an awesome... awesome dude. So,
you got anything on the calendar? He's coming soon, or
I believe like in like May, June. So
May, June,
right,
we'll
that area
for that.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So let's drink Blanco.
Yeah, the Blanco
is awesome.
I've already drank most of mine.
Okay, well we have more.
I'm so exhausted.
I had a first tequila today.
I'm so exhausted that this one beer and these three tastes of tequila are probably gonna
take a nap before we're done.
Yeah, probably gonna be the end of me.
I have to go pack after this.
Miles to go before I wake. Yeah, you're leaving town tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Big Sir. Yeah.
Decent.
So.
Decent.
Obviously, I would think, obviously, I could be totally wrong. Blanco's that's the seller, right?
Yeah, I would say the Blanco and the Repo. They're doing the best.
If you're a Grand Army.
Skipping over.
Lots of Repo flying around Grand Army these days. Yeah. Especially today after the show. Yeah, come by. Yeah.
We're going to be hanging out there today at 5 o'clock, 5 or 7.
Yeah,
Heather's going to be around for those who listen live.
Drinking some tequila cocktails and all that good stuff.
Hell
with our buddy Kevin.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the Blanco's awesome.
I really love the Reposado, obviously. I've gone through a lot of it before. But it's just, it's like
burnt tropical fruits and all that goodness. Yeah. You totally get the bourbon barrels off of that. I definitely get down with the Añejo. That's my personal favorite. I kind of say that it has everything on the palate that I love, which is like, you know, like coffee and tobacco and chocolate and red fruits and things like that.
Cool.
But it's kind of interesting. It's like a 50-50 split between people digging the Repo and the Añejo.
Repo is just so fucking smooth, man. I just like drinking it straight. Like,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't want it on the rocks. I just love drinking it straight.
I'm a Blanco guy, man. I don't know why.
You know,
I'm
a lot of people lately, I've noticed a lot of customers at the bar, a lot of people are going back to Blanco, and I get it.
I like the sort of like a little bit vegetal, slightly peppery. I don't know, man. Blancos are my jam.
Yeah, there's like a lot of white pepper on this one and pretty floral.
Yeah.
And actually, our Blanco, it sees absolutely no time on oak to like mellow out the flavor. So that's straight from the still.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive. And even like our Repo and our Añejo, they're super light in comparison to a lot of other Repos and Añejos. We don't add anything extra to the barrels to accelerate aging or anything like that. So when you're even having our Añejo that's 24 months on oak, you're definitely still having an agave spirit. You're definitely still tasting the Blanco coming through.
Yeah.
Pass me one of those, Souther. Sure, buddy. You got three glasses of Añejo. All the way across the studio.
All the glasses, actually.
Careful. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry. I forget to share.
She was over there like, I lived in New Orleans and I love tequila.
Souther's living like, his best life over there.
Listen.
Those who can do, get it.
I'm going to go to Grand Army after this and drink some tequila cocktails. I'm taking the full day away from Coup, I think.
Nice.
Really?
I mean, we did the project. You know, I want to make the show about me, but the entire project we did in 6 weeks. Under 6 weeks. It was like literally 5 weeks and 4 days.
Yeah.
From we have the space to we're opening the doors. So.
It's amazing.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Plus in there, don't forget, I was out of country for 12 days.
Didn't you get back like 2 days before it opened or something like
that? Indeed, correct.
Yeah,
so everything was on email and text while I was in all the lands. And then I came back. Here's the even more kind of weirdly interesting part. Mm-hmm. The whole entire staff by both our GM, Allie, and my partner, Max, got hired while I was away. So I came back and walked into a room full of people I had never met. I trained them for 10 hours straight, and we opened the bar the next day.
Well, damn. All right.
Okay, here's another.
Getting it done.
Sorry, team at Coup. I will eventually learn all your names. I don't even know all their names.
I'll buy them shots of Trumba. We'll be fine.
Hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
What's your name? You're fired.
Yeah.
Hey, you buddy.
Your buddy, your ace, your champ.
I got to ask something. Sorry, Heather. So you got a lot of you're just kind of a weird dude. We don't know that. I have to ask. So Nick Korn was on the show last week.
Yeah,
funny, awesome dude.
Yes.
From Boston, first Boston. We after the show we went and hung out and had some drinks and stuff, popped around the neighborhood.
Nice.
And we got on the conversation of phone chargers, like backup chargers. Mm-hmm. Do you have one? Because everyone, Souther doesn't have
an actual
computer. He does everything from his cell phone.
Are you serious?
He owns two bars,
and
he does all this brand work and like gets bartending all over the place. He does it all from his cell phone.
That's all I got.
And like, so are you responsible about plugging it in, or do you have like a backup charger?
I go almost nowhere without a cord to plug it in myself.
Gotcha.
And I do have a charger. And also, random that you're asking me this today, because yesterday I saw this thing on Kickstarter. That I'm going to back so I can get one. It's a braided leather bracelet that wraps around your arm twice and plugs into itself. But when you open it up, it is a phone charger.
it's a leather bracelet.
I can't remember the name of it. I'll find out. You're welcome, Kickstarter. But also, I looked at it because we're looking to do a Kickstarter because we're talking about opening another coup in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Already. We're 5 days old.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow down, Robbie. Take a break.
Take it.
But he talked about wanting to do a Kickstarter, and I've never really looked at that. So I looked at Kickstarter, and I just looked at the most popular, and it was one of the ones that's already funded like 7,000 times more than it needed. So, like, it's a done deal. But, cool. Yeah, I ordered one because it's like a leather. It looks nice, and you wouldn't know. And when you open it, it's got the USB end and the plugged your phone in, and you just said, I need a cube.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's totally your stuff.
Yeah, I carry one around everywhere. This is literally all I use is my iPhone.
Crazy.
And also,
David's like, do they have turquoise on them?
Yeah, right. And also, randomly yesterday, I officially hired an assistant who probably does have a computer.
Well, there you go.
God willing, yeah.
Don't buy a computer; just hire an assistant.
His name is Josh. He will be great. Okay, back to the tequila.
Wait, Heather, do you have, since you travel quite a bit?
Yeah.
Do you have a preferred like backup?
No, charger? I always keep my charger with me. Like I try to like, you know, keep like the other charger thing, you know, with me, and I just never charge that. Like I'm barely even responsible enough to like charge my own phone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I always do that. Hey, baby, can you do me a favor?
Yeah, plug that in. You got an iPhone charger back
yeah,
there?
Yeah, or like, or you know, oh gosh, if you're one
I'm
of those.
I'm never embarrassed to ask. At my bar, at bars, both of them, I have a charging station behind the bar that anyone asks. I have Android, iPhone, I got them all. And I always just say, you get one ride.
Yeah, fair.
And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I will take your phone away from you, and I will plug it in. But the minute you ask for it back, I'm not plugging it in again.
Yeah, you can't check it for text messages or
I'm not
going like to
be the shuttle for your phone.
Yeah.
And I purposely put this charger behind the bar on both the bars because I want to take their phone away. I want to talk to the people around them.
Yeah, totally.
Focus. Give me some eyes.
Stop looking at the fucking
eyes are
phone.
Up here.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. Familiar story.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, if there's a bar that like has like the under the bar charger or whatever, yeah, dude, I love you. And I will definitely like go in there and just be like, yeah, no, I just came in to see you, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, little, no, I'm totally stealing your electricity.
Juice. Okay. So
we're drinking Añejo now.
Now we're on to the Añejo.
Yeah, like I said, my favorite out of the line.
You're right, though, man. This really still has a lot of those green aromas.
Totally.
Even though it's got a nice amber hue.
Yeah. But even the color is super light. Like, it's just so awesome.
You've been down to see the facility?
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of times?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In 2 years?
Yep, a couple times. And then we're going to be going back down, I think, in a couple months as well and doing a little trip.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, good stuff. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know if I caught this. So this is also Asian bourbon barrels, right?
Yep, everyone. Right, cool. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's 22 to 24 months.
Cool.
Whenever Marco says go, it goes. So, yeah. I've heard there's an extra Añejo in the works. I haven't tried it, but super stoked for whenever that happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's your favorite tequila cocktail?
Honestly, I definitely will get down with an Infante. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig that. I dig it. It's just super...
Run it down for the listener.
Yeah,
and,
so...
And me. I don't recognize that one.
Blanco, lime juice, orgeat, nutmeg on top. I don't know who did it first.
Giuseppe Gonzalez.
Yeah, really?
That's a Gio.
Oh, that guy?
It's a Gio joint.
Yeah. I'm watching my language because I was like, what if I say fuck too much? And so there was like, no, Giuseppe has the crown on that.
Yeah.
And then I called him. I sent him a text message. And I'm like, I'm going to knock you out of the box on that.
I'm going to fucking knock you out of the fucking box on that fucking shit.
But I'm behaving. I'm good.
Yeah. You're doing great.
Trying not to have like my, you know, jersey come out too much.
The Infante. You know, I...
drink some more tequila. Drink.
Yeah, right. Let's get weird.
I typically don't really drink... cocktails. I say it slowly and weirdly because I don't want people to freak out. But it's not a secret. It's not a secret. I generally drink stuff neat or on the rocks. And I only drink water and alcohol. It's been over 17 years since I've had anything to drink besides water and alcohol, unless there was something in the alcohol. Like I'll drink a daiquiri, but it's not a thing I'd usually order. It's typically something someone hands me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the number one ordered cocktail in America, we all know, right? The margarita.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I fucking love a margarita.
Yeah.
It's got to have salt, though.
I do not like salt on my margarita.
I got to have it, man.
I'm kind of with you on that one, honestly.
I just think it's like too much.
If you don't have salt on it, are you down with a couple drops of saline in it? That salt really wakes it up, man.
I understand that. Because salt is a palate stimulator.
Former chef, I just want the fucking salt.
Well, no, dude, I love salt. I mean,
just want it on there.
Yeah.
I want it on everything.
I don't know. I think maybe from maybe I got conditioned to hating it because, like, when I started bartending and there's, like, salt everywhere. Like, also, like, you know what? Don't salt the whole fucking rim. Salt half
exactly.
the rim.
Yeah. I was about to say, we have a margarita on the menu at Coup, and we don't ask the question salt or no salt. We just salt half.
And there's some really
that's your choice.
There's some really sexy shit you can do with, like, a half salted rim. Like, you can, like, dip it, like, further down, like, at a 45-degree angle. Sure. So it kind of does, like, a crescent moon kind of thing on the side. It's, like, you can make it look nice and, like functional at the same time, but it's like I typically always ask for mine without salt. Yeah. Unless you've got like it's like worm salt or like smoked sea salt or something cool like that.
What's the worm salt called? Guisano?
Something like that.
I love that stuff too. They have it over at Cosme. Delicious.
Yeah. I could do a whole show on fucking salt. Yeah. But I don't like it off my burgers.
We can do the show on salt. I'll be into that.
This isn't
tequila. Mark Kurlansky on here.
Yeah. This isn't tequila or nothing, but I discovered like a jungle bird with some saline in that. What?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, salt changes stuff, man.
I can get down with that.
I mean, we at Booker and Dax, we put saline in damn near every drink.
Yeah. Right.
Just a couple of drops.
That's all you need.
Right? It really wakes stuff up. But then going further, because you asked her what her favorite was. I like a margarita.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm a little embarrassed. But a fucking tequila Negroni is a thing of beauty in my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I was going to say this Blanco. I've used this Blanco.
Sorry, I said a tequila white Negroni. Blanco tequila, Sue's, and like some Coque Americano or even Lillet to lighten it up. Stirred over ice with a lemon twist.
Let's start making cocktails.
I love that, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're going to make some this afternoon over at the Grand Army.
We will be, man.
Yes.
Cocktails will be made. There
cocktails
will be.
Some,
we'll be making
be
them disappear.
We'll be making them go away.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to go fast. Trust me.
Yeah, they are.
Dude, this Blanco makes a great last word, too. Just classic riffs,
for
man.
Sure.
Because it's peppery and like goes with the green chartreuse.
Oh, great idea. I've never done that.
Because you don't have juice at one of your bars.
What about a bijou? I know, dude. The world just reopened for me 5 days ago.
What? How does it feel? Are your arms sore from shaking?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's why I said I'm fucking exhausted, dude.
I saw a video of Max like shaking. I was like, so that's what your shake's like.
Right. Yeah. Never seen him shake.
When was the last time you did that?
I can't wait to come to Coup just to like
there's some flair
make
on
fun
there.
Of you guys.
Yeah. Max has got a pretty good shake, to be honest.
How's your shoulders hanging in?
Well, let me tell you, people are coming in there and ordering shaking drinks just to see. They don't even want it. You know, like my regulars at Amore are coming over and being like, "Can I get some of the drinks I get at Amore?" I'm like, "Absolutely. What do you want?" And they're like, "I want shake me up a margarita." Like, I'm like, "All right, fine.
Work for it.
I get it. You know, yeah, make me dance. It's fun, and it's all for a great cause. I don't give a shit.
Dance.
Yeah, it's all for a great cause. So I don't give a shit." So let's talk about Tromba a little more, and then we're probably going to wrap up relatively soon.
Okay.
I'm getting nice and buzzed, though, to be honest.
Sweet.
I haven't
good.
Had...
Glad know, I can help you out.
I haven't
on
had,
a
like, time to drink or even eat. Table 42 is really making my mouth water today.
Yeah.
They're eating some nice pasta right outside the
they're
studio
not even
window.
Looking at us.
Right. They don't care. They got a glass of wine, some pasta. It's nice out.
Talk
okay. Tromba.
We gotta wrap this up so you can get some food, man.
You too, man. You said
I'm starving.
You said it when we got here.
So
you were
glad
starving.
I showed up and got you drunk. Yes.
Yeah. Like the lack of sleep and the energy that's been expended and the lack of food. Yeah, I'm all three right. sips of tequila and three quarters of a beer in, and I'm feeling fine.
Nice. Well, good. I feel like
fucking Dave. He's awesome. The best.
So do you guys do events? Do you have anything coming up? Or
yeah,
let's,
totally.
Let's do a little promotion
outside of tonight.
Yeah, totally. We have we're doing our happy hour over at Grand Army Bar, one of the finest bars in Brooklyn. And then
according to
Imbibe
Magazine,
one of the finest bars in the country. I hear. The rumor
fucking
has it.
Notch in your belt right there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then we're doing a single. We're going to be doing a big old Cinco de Mayo over at Sweetwater Social.
Oh, crap. That's coming up soon.
Yeah, that's coming up real soon.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, and so Sweetwater Social is going to be doing like a bunch of like shot special, cocktail specials. We're trying to get some like large format margaritas going.
Holy shit. And it's on a Friday
machines.
This year.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. It's going to be
go
popping
time.
Off.
And also, that bar just always is go time.
It's slammed. Yeah. So it's just going to be, it's going to be a blast, you know.
Coincidentally, that's Grand Army's 2 year anniversary.
Oh. You opened on Cinco de Mayo?
Really?
Yeah. We thought we were like going to be like kind of sly about that. It's like, no one will come. It's Cinco de Mayo. It'll give us a chance to open up like kind of soft. No, we got fucking destroyed. But I think we're going to do ours on like that Sunday the 7th. But that's TBD.
Yeah.
But
I spent Cinco de Mayo at Grand Army last year, actually. Yeah. I remember. Yeah, I was like,
I beat up that pinata on my walk out. I had to go catch a flight. Like, just beat it down with a muddler and there were like minis of fireball flying through the air. And like, it was like, see ya, clean it up. I'm out of here.
This place.
Okay, so Cinco de Mayo is your next kind of big event.
Yeah, that's
anything
kind of our next
event. Anything else on your calendar you want to promote while we're on the air?
Nothing too huge coming up.
10 or 12
right now.
Listeners.
Yeah, we just we just did a whole lot in the last month, like coming off of a National Margarita Day, so we got pretty down on that. So right on. Yeah, so yeah, that's what we got coming up.
All right, so Cinco de Mayo at Sweetwater Social
and Grand Army
over there
after
with
this.
Super Cooper.
Yeah.
Right after this at the Grand Army Bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where can you? So you're not nationwide. You know, we have worldwide listeners.
Yeah, no, we're not.
So everybody out there, you can't all get it, but you can stand up and ask for it, and that'll get it to you faster.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Right? Tromba, T-R-O-M-B-A. You got a website you want to promote?
Yeah, TrombaTequila.com. Get in on it.
Easy enough.
Yeah, Tequila Tromba, tequila. At Tequila Tromba.
On the Instagram and whatnot.
On the Instagrams and things. Sure. Yeah. If you want to find me, I'm Heather Ann Ash.
On Instagram?
Get at it. Yeah,
Heather Ann Ash.
You should find her.
Pretty awesome. It's a pretty entertaining account. A lot of dog pictures, but whatever.
Dogs of Instagram.
Deal with it.
Just Instagram.
Tequila dogs of Instagram.
It's my pierogi, my dog.
Yep.
Well, awesome. I'm going to plug myself one more time. Please get your ass over to Koo and drink for a good cause. Drink Tromba for a good cause. I got it on my bar.
Yep.
Come make me shake you a margarita. I'll use it. Let's get it on. And then, yeah. Follow us also at Coup, C-O-U-P-N-Y, on all media. Make us your friend on Facebook. Tell people to come over to the bar.
Hey, congratulations again, man.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Super congratulations.
Thank you,
man.
Thank you. I couldn't be happier with the turnout and the expression of love that people are giving me and the bar itself. We're really doing a good thing for all the right reasons. We're being pretty humble and pretty selfless about the fact that we're giving it all away. You know, we in our business, the three of us in this room for sure, and probably a lot of the listeners, we throw a party every day. That's our job, right? To operate a bar and show people a good time. And there's no reason we can't do that and also be charitable and giving at the same time. All right, stop talking before I cry about my bar. Anywho, yeah.
There's no tears or cocktails.
Let's get some pizza.
Yeah, you want to take us out?
Yeah, man. Well,
Wait, let me. Sorry, I pulled out my one computer so I can give a quick rundown. Next week we got Peter Nevanglaski from Avua Kashasa. I can't pronounce that shit. Somebody knocking on the door? What was that? The following week is a great one. Oh my gosh. Pete Fornatale and Dale DeGroff are going to be here to talk about ponies and whiskey. And Dale's going to bring his guitar or banjo, and you're going to bring something. And
that's awesome.
There'll be music to be listened to. It's going to be the best thing ever. And the following week is Matt Freelander from Sweetwater Social,
who's
also a guitar player. So he's going to bring guitar. We're going to have two shows in a row where we listen to
Sally?
You play some music.
Cool, man.
And he'll probably bring Sally, his
awesome.
Adorable little snowball of a dog.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Damn dog. Cool. That's it for the show this week. Heather, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
In the studio
thank
today.
You guys.
Love you to death.
I love you.
And
I
love the tequila, of course. You know that. I've been carrying it forever. for as long as it's been around,
yeah.
I guess.
Pick up my tequila.
Yeah.
That's how that happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out Tromba Tequila. Check out Heather and Ash. She's the best. And check out all the other programs on heritageradionetwork.org. And until next week. That's it, I guess.
Yeah, buddy.
Salud.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.